welcome to the Fantasy Wargaming Podcast. We're your hosts,
Tony
and Paul. And have we got some shows for you? I'm not quite sure how this is going to work out, but we're joined by the current UK master, Mr. Ed. How are we doing, Ed?
Yeah, not too bad. Thanks for having me.
You're more than welcome, mate. And also, the UK's number one in the rankings as of last year. Welcome, Hugh.
Thanks for having me.
Well, welcome, guys. So, point of today's show really is to talk about demons. And I suppose we're going to look at breaking the show up into two halves, really, if all goes well. But we're going to focus a little bit on why demons are good. So, without further ado, let's just dive straight in. So, credentials, guys. How long have you been playing demons for? If we start with Hugh.
I started during lockdown. I was always back in the day, I quite liked the aggressive, lots of chariots kind of build. I played it in a tournament, an international tournament in real life a while before. And I wanted to visit it while and try something new over lockdown. And then I got, you know, sort of got into it from there.
Did pretty well with them this year as well, did it? Or I suppose last year now, thinking on it.
Can't help but notice I haven't seen you with loads of chariots in your army, though.
Well, they keep on going up.
What about yourself, Ed?
I started in September last year.
Wow. So I suppose we're all kind of newish on the demons, but not done too bad. I was playing them quite exhaustively the year before last, I think. Yeah, it was, what was that, 2020, the first half of the pandemic, I suppose. Started delving really quite heavily into demons and playing them on UB. Yeah, that was the advantage of UB. You could just play with the models you didn't have. And I thought, well, how better to know how to play with demons than to actually pick them up? And then you started playing with an army, didn't you, mate?
Yes, I've been painting away furiously. And I just about get a unit finished ready for a points update, and then that goes in the bin.
So between the four of us then, I thought it'd be quite interesting, because we've all got quite a bit of experience now of playing with the army, just kind of sharing with the community, why are the demons good? What makes the demons good in the first part? So if we start, I'm just trying to think how best to do this.
Well, I think the first thing I have to say, and people always fall for this, has anybody managed to pop a moor themselves by getting it up to 16 wounds? Because I've had people feeding them units, and staff tried it at one point last week when we were playing, and it takes so much to actually make it happen. And then I don't think I fought the last combat, because at that point he was on 14 wounds, and so he just walked away. I just think, has anybody ever actually managed to do it?
No.
I had a similar situation to you, but yeah, again, I wanted to make a charge, but I couldn't, because I was on like 16, I think, at that point. I think it's actually 18 when he pops.
It is 18. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah. And but yeah, he's never actually popped for me.
Yeah. Again, it seems like one of those rules which is really going to hold it back when you read it. I'll just feed them a load of chaff and they'll
zombies.
Pop. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't happen.
No.
I think it maybe puts you off some combats, but usually you don't want to be in those big steadfast grind combats anyway with Maw. He's got better things to do than that. So
yeah, if you're fighting zombies, then there's something wrong.
Yeah, even whether you kill him or not, you've already taken him out of the game for several turns.
I think that's a bit deceptive, though, because the Maw can Thunderstorm. You don't get the wounds back with Thunderstorms, do you? Or
no.
Or Stomp D6. So it's a little bit as well. It's a bit situational. But I suppose, so refocusing the chat, so what makes demons so strong then?
For my part, I've always felt it's in the speed of the list. So both in terms of the army-wide Swift, and also that you have a lot of very viable light troop lateral movement units, Blazing Glories, Chariots, Flies, and you saw those dominate the meta for probably the last 2 years. I mean, even with all the points updates that keep on hitting them, they're still quite popular.
Mm.
Speed kind of is one of the strengths.
And it's not just the big moves, but even, you know, your core units having that swift stride just means against other infantry, you nearly always get the jump, don't you? Unless they're going to go for a long bomb.
It's yeah. I think speed is what drew me to the army when I was looking for something new to pick up. And that kind of flat speed is definitely a big part of it. I think there are other strengths as well. I think I think the fact that you can win games with characters and special and really your core, although it can help a lot of the time, you can win games without it, which really just shows the strength of the individual pieces that you can bring to bear on a game.
Yeah, very true, very true.
So does that mean you don't rate the core?
I don't particularly find any of the core to be inspiring. I find that the issue with the core is it doesn't fit with my playstyle. There's no option that is faster than 5-10 movement. So it tends to get left behind when I'm playing it, which is fine. I can deal with that, and it does plug gaps, and it ultimately takes care of the scoring elements, which is what core should be doing a lot of the time. But yeah, it's not a particular strength of the Demon Legions book. I think it's passable. I think it's fine, but it's not where the power of the book lies.
I think part of the issue with the core as well is all the core is essentially one direction. So each of the core units really have one focus of what they want to be fighting and are sort of moderate to subpar versus anything else. So, you know, Lima's one job is to be tanky, Succubi's one job is to kill infantry, Myrmidon's one job is to kill monsters, really, or high toughness, and anything else that they fight, they're not going to be any good at, really.
I think one of the other biggest strengths of the book, though, is the complete immune to psychology and the fact they don't run away, they don't break from fear, they don't necessarily... I mean, I know they pop, which is obviously a unique mechanic that the demons have, similar to vampires, but better. But they seem to be a high elite army, which is incredibly reliable, I suppose. You know that if something next to them is going to... Like for a piece of chaff in the way... dies, you're not going to see your big blocks just suddenly lift up their skirt and leg it on a 10 with a reroll.
Yeah,
I think that in itself has got quite a lot of strength to the book and why it does quite well. Would you agree?
Definitely.
Absolutely. Yeah,
you can play wider than pretty much any other army, as you say, the other armies being undead, who have that sort of army-wide immune to psych, but they have march bubble issues, and well, you'd kind of have lower leadership, or they can play wider, which is an advantage with speed that we were mentioning earlier as well.
Yeah, I think only warriors really play in a relatively similar way in terms of having lots of elements that don't have to worry about that area of the game. So it does definitely change it. There is a drawback that comes with it, around that you can't necessarily access certain parts of the game around fleeing, double fleeing. At least you can't easily access those aspects. And there are plenty of very talented players who will say that that's a toolbox, a tool in the toolbox that you will miss. But certainly, I think particularly at the mid-level, it's a vast advantage because you don't have to worry about those cases where you've put your BSB 1 or 2 inches out of position and therefore you lose a whole unit from your army.
I mean, you say that though. Sometimes, I mean, when I started playing with demons, I did find the BSB mechanic to be quite important because of the way they prop and the way they break. I found one of the biggest strengths with demons is that you knew if you lost combat by 1 or 2, you'd be there, guaranteed. There's no risk of you potentially failing that break test and running off. And the BSB could just help you by making sure you didn't take additional wounds. But it's much more easier to anvil someone in place, lock them, and then countercharge. It's definitely something your opponents have to think of. But yeah, that's definitely one of the biggest strengths I've found with the book. That and the immunity to fear, to terror. I think that's, one of their biggest strengths. So...
I was going to say, one of my favourite things to do is just spamming Spear of Infinity I mean, is that, you know, is it really? I mean, it's a fairly average spell in some ways, but it's a low casting. You can easily one or two dice it, especially with the extra plus one.
It's definitely a strategy. Like I've had spear spam lists myself. You can get maybe not quite so much anymore, but you used to be able to get quite a valid, strong in certain matchups, magic phase, quite cheaply with spears. I think with the chariots keep on going up and up, makes it a little less viable, but certainly, yeah, spear spam is definitely a strategy.
And I think demon magic is another strength. It does tend to play slightly differently to other lists. If you want to take the full advantage of that one and two dice casting, you're not necessarily looking to force through that one, you know, hugely powerful spell, and you're not re-rolling wounds on Hellfire like a warrior's list, but you do have access to lots of really useful, really effective spells. And if you keep one, two dicing lots of those spells, you'll get maybe two, three, sometimes more spells off in a phase, which not many other armies can live up to. So it makes magic a really interesting toolbox item for demons in a different way than most other books, which is really fun.
Yeah, I think with the demon army in particular, I think you'd be nuts to go into any kind of game without magic support because of the amount of boosts you get for taking magic. I think the laws they have access to, depending on what demons you take, one, it influences your list, but secondly, it opens the whole game up, like you were saying there, Ed. So I think moving on slightly then, so if we're talking to players that are thinking of picking up demons, what kind of lists should they be looking at? What kind of armies are doing well at the moment?
It's quite a varied book. I mean, I think there's a really good internal balance anyway. I think a lot of the England players, or Tanker and Craig, they're constantly saying that you can't really pick out a bad unit in the demon book.
Time for the deceiver.
I think the problem with the Kalima, when you say that he's a bad entry, is he was too good, and then he possibly got overhit at one point because he used to be extremely popular back in the day. And I mean, you could still do a similar thing now. It's just going to cost you more. But
expensive for what it is. But yeah, sorry.
I'd say that the big builds that you still got running around. I mean, Scourge Courtesan still very, very popular. Has been for a while. Even though it keeps on going up. But nothing else is like immediately spring into mind. I guess you get Sentinels in Lima blocks have been reasonably popular for quite some time as well. I can't really think of anything stands out as a build.
So jumping back to that, because I mean, you mentioned I think you mentioned the Courtesan. I see it with the Scourge, but the Courtesan, and it must be, I mean, because I know you both use it, and I've seen you using it before, Hugh. I think you had it in last year's Masters, and Ed had it in this year's Masters. So what is it about the Courtesan that, is it the movement? What makes it so good?
It's a combination, I think. Mm-hmm. I mean, the movement is fantastic. Having a monster that can move 18, can stick, you know, can jump down on the flanks. Its base stats are pretty good. Having agility 7 and AP 4 means you can stand in front of a cavalry unit and you know, distracting adds into that. The Dominion is really good for a general, I find, because often making those longer flank charges and rear charges, particularly when you're going with a fast demons list, it synergizes very well, I've found, into what I'm trying to do with the list. And then the razor tentacles attack, which everyone talks about, everyone likes to say, you'll never get it, it'll never happen, you'll never actually land it. But that's because people are terrified of it, and rightly so. If you put it, if you get a courtesan into the flank of a unit where that matters at all, you know, I had a chance to get a charge into the flank of a mercenary veteran unit, for example. Even in that case, that combat joy, that's a combat swinging and potentially game swinging contribution that will come about because you get one flank charge off, which means everyone has to play to completely rule out that you get a flank charge with a monster, which is a hugely significant thing that they have to base their list on. So I think the, you know, the combination, the package that comes with it, and then the ability to obviously add manifestations or to add magic to the mix, I think it's one of the, if not the most versatile character in the Demon's book.
I mean, you say, you know, about adding the Dominion, you know, different options, but obviously you're always going to go up to Vez 6 with the Iron Husk, aren't you?
I haven't, because I can't afford to.
Really? You want him at Vez 5?
Yeah. Wow. When I combine it with a Scourge. I'm not looking to put it into necessarily a front combat, but equally, she can take a combat because she's got distracting, so she's being hit less. So it, that largely offsets the effect of being, you know, the effect of being one step lower than a normal monster in terms of resilience. She also hits first in most cases. So she can potentially reduce the amount of attacks that are incoming. It does obviously shape how you position her and how you put her in. But unfortunately, there's only so many things you can do with the points that are available. And for 4,500 points, I can't get everything I want.
Touching back on that Dominion and Lust that you mentioned. So that gives you Strider, doesn't it? And it means you can reroll charges on the flank or rear. But have you ever remembered the avert your gaze rule? -2 discipline. Is that the secret?
I have even remembered that rule.
I suppose if you are on the flank, though, I mean, that's massive, isn't it? It looks quite innocuous, but you think if you have got on someone's flank and they're steadfast, suddenly fear and -2 means they're doing reforms on, you know, sixes, yep, or maybe sevens, if not lower.
At the Masters, I got into the rear of Jake Courtine's unit with the blunderbusses and the Infernal Bastion. Unfortunately, I'd forgotten that he could pick the Infernal Bastion as the model to take the test, so he was gigantic and therefore didn't take fear. But he was testing on a 7 to be able to turn around, which is pretty tasty, you know, when you think that if he's not able to turn around, that's a very bad situation for him to be in.
So I suppose it's spicing it up. So Hugh, what would be your favourite greater demon then? Not necessarily greater demon, but what would be your favourite character choice, and why would you say it?
If my favourite is probably the Maw, but that's purely from I just really like the rules and the way that model works. It's just a lot of fun. I don't think it's necessarily the best unit, but I think it's got some really interesting mechanics, and it's really swingy, and it can be absolutely ridiculous in some games. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think he's, again, a bit similar to what Ed was saying there with his Dominion. I think the Maw's Dominion is really good. Isn't that what he wants to wound?
Yeah, it's not bad. I mean, none of the Dominions are bad, but this one, it's a fairly solid one for sure.
So I've asked you so many times before, but you use him. Explain the Miser to me, because it's just, I mean, it looks good. And then you think, well, it's 600 points and it's, you know, 5 attacks at offensive 5, strength 5, AP 2.
It's the strength 5. That's the thing that gets me. That's the same form I have with the courtesan. Is it strength 5?
It's basically a tank. Yeah, it's just a tanky monster, essentially. There's nothing there. When I take it in my lists, it was purely because it was one of the 3 big guys that would fit in the list. If you wanted 3 big guys, it was the only way it worked. But what the list I took originally was just based on that. And then I found it synergized incredibly well with the with the Blazing Glories, and that was why it stayed in the list, really. But yeah.
How was it synergizing with the Blazing Glories? And was that with the
plus two defensive skill? So in the list that I was running for a couple of the first in real life tournaments, the list that I built for just having a bit of fun with my first few tourneys with
defensive
demons.
12.
Yeah, it was you give the Dominion to a Blazing Glory, so it gets plus two defensive skill, gets unwounded, which they often got in unwounded because there were three greater demons on the table, so they were kind of distracting away from the glories. So it gets to be defensive skill 12, and the list had a Northern Enemy spell in and a Deceptive Glamour spell in. So you could get to defensive skill 14 with one spell, which means that anything that is offense 6 or less hits you on 6s.
Yeah, it's quite tasty, isn't it?
So that was a really nice combo. It catches people out on occasion, but yeah, it was pretty fun with that. But yeah, the Miser, I mean I agree with you both to a certain extent. It was not necessarily the standout in terms of damage output compared to the rest, and certainly it would be if you were going from the triple GD and you had to take one out, quite possibly the one that you would.
So, shall we leave the characters behind for a bit?
I quite like the Sentinel. I have to throw that in there.
Oh, I frequently take a Sentinel myself. I agree.
I love it. I think it's so good. I think the fact that the whole ability to see what your magic phase is going to be before you commit to combat.
Well, it's before you decide whether you march or not.
Exactly. And also, the fact you channel 2-1 just means you can synergize your list really well. And the fact he also gets access to Thorn, which I think... I've played it with all three. It's got four. What's the other one? What haven't I bothered using with?
Witchcraft.
No, Evo. I didn't bother Evo. I did Div on it. I did Thorm and I did Witchcraft. I tried Witchcraft to start with, but back when Bewitching Glare was different. But the problem I found with Witchcraft on the... on what's it called again?
Too far away. The Sentinel
is the unlike the courtesan that can actually use witchcraft herself and actually do something. Yeah,
it means you've got to move it towards the enemy.
It's once your army's dead, or once you're kind of down to your last few units, all the witchcraft spells are just buffs or negi traits on the opponent. You need something else to be punching them in the face, whereas just Thorm is just straight out smash them in the face.
The best spell in the game is the Will of the Wisp, and you can't use that unless you're 18 inches away from your opponent.
I really like the Sentinel, but
so jumping onto units, and I think we're probably gonna skip core as favorite choices, but which have you two got like a unit which you think is a really strong unit? And then a cheeky favourite, which maybe isn't the strongest unit, but a little bit fun. So, you know, you might go Hoarders for the strong unit, but then you might go Hellhounds. In fact, no, that's my choice. I'd say Hoarders. I mean, they're just tanks, aren't they? And people think they'll run through them and then they, you know, kill one and half kill another one and pin there forever. But then there's just something nice about Hellhounds. You know, if you get in... And then they fail their test, and you're just churning out loads of low strength lethal strikes. Is a fun one, but anyway. That's enough about me because obviously I'm a rubbish player. What about you two? What do you think is kind of a really strong unit, and then what's a favourite unit?
I will say I'm not going to pick Hoarders because I think Hoarders are cheating, and if you play them, you hate fun.
Well, no, that's
a man from bitter experience.
Yeah. Other people's fun. You hate people's.
Yeah, it's like somebody
get mirrored scales is like 21 points a model now.
But it's like somebody turns up with a dwarf gun line and says, "I'm going to ruin six people's weekend this event."
Yeah,
including their own.
I did end up dropping them out of my list because it was very much pushing forwards, and that was it. It was a. I wanted to see what other things in the book could do.
Yeah. I don't know. I will say that as a cheeky pick, I love Hellhounds also. I think, for their points, for what they do, for the potential of them, for the ability to use them as chaff, which is almost as good as Furies. And, you know, they're much more versatile than Furies. So I love Hellhounds, and I would struggle to see a better use for 200 points in the book than a unit of six of them.
Is this your, that was your favorite pick, Ed?
That was my cheeky favorite. In terms of favorites, I don't really have a single choice out of the remaining stuff. I think almost all of it has a function. Almost all of it has a use if you find the place in your list for it. I haven't tried quite a few of them, so I still want to get testing on things like Mage Blight Gremlins and Brazen Beasts as well.
I agree with Ed in the fact that there's a lot of choice for your favorite unit or your in terms of fan favorite and like what you think is the best on the tabletop. I mean, I could easily pick three for each of those categories, but I'm gonna go for, in terms of my fan favorite one, as it were, probably Brazen Beasts at the moment. I've been running them a little recently, and there is nothing quite like getting the charge with that unit.
Yeah, pretty brutal.
It is just ridiculous. The output from that unit on the charge. It's against infantry, it's 8 strength 5 per model. with battle focus on half of those.
Oh, because it's got impact hits as well.
Yeah, it's 2 impacts, 3 rider, 2 mount, and stomp. Yeah, when you can combo that with the extremely effective demon magic phase, we were talking about 2 dice phases before. If you can spam 2 dice buffs on that unit, very, very tasty. And I guess in terms of one of the more competitive picks, I guess I would have to go with, I'm going to go with the Blazing Glory, just because my list always seems to have them in it. It's can be a tricky unit to get the most out of sometimes. They are somewhat vulnerable to small arms and various bits of magic. But they are incredibly maneuverable and really multifunctional. So they've got great armor piercing. They can really threaten cowboys outside of characters as well, which is a really great spot for the unit. And with the high res and high defensive skill, they can go into a lot of targets and just grind. So, yeah, I feel like they're a really multifunctional unit that performs quite well on a lot of matchups.
It's quite interesting as well. I think one of the biggest strengths of demons that we've missed mentioning is just the fact they all have Aegis saves.
Yeah.
I think the fact that you've just, regardless of whatever happens, it doesn't matter how high strength the hit is, you always have a chance of saving it. I mean, I remember at Tech, I was just bitter about the fact that I was just overwhelming. I should have won the combat by loads. And he just spiked all his Aegis saves. I think he passed 11 out of 12 or something stupid. And you look at it thinking, that should never happen. But demons have that ability, don't they? That's the thing.
Yeah, oh, they also have the ability to fail 11 out of 12 Aegis saves, which is what the demon players know.
That's next show. Focusing on strengths.
So what about yours, Paul, then?
Oh, mate, there's two. I mean, again, I think that the lads have hit the nail on the head. I don't think there's many weak choices. I think there's a lot of it that comes down to personal play style. I suppose two of the choices that surprised me most when I started playing around with the book, the fun one is the Mage Blight Gremlins with the poison sack upgrade. I found them amazing. I started off with a unit of 2, then grew them to 4, and then settled on 3 because they're just... The fact that they can pop up behind an enemy mage or ambush as normal is fantastic, and it just changes the whole way your opponent plays and deploys, etc. Sometimes, and they can just surprise people. They can take out big monsters. Anything with effective doesn't matter about the res, because you're wounding any hits on a 5, you're doing a wound. they're really surprising. And again, with the 5-up Aegis save, they're quite resilient. I really enjoy playing with them. And the other unit option, because I've just consistently playing with the Sentinel for quite a while, and I love the channel for two, was the Hope Harvesters with the upgrade. I found the engine upgrade particularly effective because suddenly you had a monster that was running around, potentially marching up to 15 inches with quite a large base, so you could do some funky stuff with him. And people just thought, wow, that thing just shoots at you and doesn't realize it's strength 6 with Thunderstomp and could go quite happily through an infantry unit. So, yeah, apart from Hoarders, they were a delight to play with. I think those were the two unit options I thoroughly enjoyed playing with the most.
Yeah, because with the Aether Battery, you used to discard, was it up to 3 Veil tokens, and each one's an extra 3 shots.
Yeah, and they can also, they channel themselves as well if you buy the antenna. So I had them, I think my army was channel 6, because you channel 2 base, I had 2 wizards and then 2 of those. So you're always guaranteeing the extra shots, and you're always guaranteeing yourself 4 magic dice over your opponent. It was quite brutal.
Very good. So, does anybody have any last thoughts before we just wrap up on why demons are so great? I think we've ascertained that mostly it's because they're filth. In all the best ways.
I mean, there is the versatility is a big factor. Like they can bring something strong to bear in every phase, including shooting. You know, there is no lack of capability to participate in the game. And I think that is an element that probably puts them above warriors in you know, both books being obviously among the strongest, subject to whatever the points change has done to that. But it's hard to say that demons are ever going to be struggling as a book. And I think the ability to participate in all phases and the ability to bring an extra tool that warriors can't probably contributes to that.
Yeah, definitely.
Fantastic. Thank you very much, guys. And then we'll have another little session about another aspect of the demon army.
Yeah, how to beat them. Catch you in a minute.